Frances Haugen, the former Facebook employee who went public with allegations that Facebook knowingly hid research showing that its products, including Instagram, amplified hate, misinformation, and political unrest, was the latest in a long line of whistleblowers. Back in 2014, there was John Tighe, then a State Department employee, who revealed that the National Security Agency was running a secret spying program targeting Americans. Well, John Tighe now runs what you might call a whistleblower school, a not-for-profit that helps would-be whistleblowers sound the alarm in the most effective and safest way. And among his recent clients was Frances Haugen. So we've brought John in for some tips. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Robin.
And I know you there's sort of like a client privilege that you have with Frances Haugen, but can you just tell us generally, you know, we're going to go through the tips for people in general, but what was something that you feel, you know, she benefited from maybe speaking with you?
She is an amazing example of how powerful whistleblowers can be if they get good advice on how to stay safe, on how to follow the law so that they're not prosecuted or sued, and how to have the biggest impact. One of the things we did in that case and many other cases is we started with disclosures to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. And for employees in the private sector, the SEC often is the first place to go because ever since 2010, they've had an office of the whistleblower whose job is to receive disclosures and to protect whistleblowers coming out of the private sector.
Well, you know, I wouldn't even have known that. And by the way, that's like number four on your list of what to do. But what you're illustrating here is the first thing to do is not to go running out into the street waving some documents saying, I found this out. So start with number one.
Talk to a lawyer. Don't talk to your friends. Don't talk to your boss. Don't talk to a journalist. Ideally, contact the lawyer using a secure mechanism. So either meet them in person with no microphones around or use the Signal app to speak to them, which is not as secure, but you know, kind of the most secure option you have for a voice call. And understand the legal risks that you face and how to make lawful disclosures in a way that you're protected.
You mentioned Signal. This is an encrypted phone messaging app.
Kind of like WhatsApp, but it's even more secure.
Okay. And just staying with lawyers for a second, lawyers can get expensive. What if people are like, I can't afford a lawyer?
Well, my organization, Whistleblower Aid, we're a charity, a not-for-profit legal organization that does give free advice. So you can get in touch with us over Signal or over an even more secure system called SecureDrop. Or often lawyers will give you free consultation. So if you have another firm that you trust, see if they'll at least advise you on your rights.
They may say, for instance, as you do, that if there's some sort of monetary damages, that's the only time that you might take a percentage of that, but otherwise, no. And a legal firm might say the same thing.
Yeah. At Whistleblower Aid, everything we do for clients is free unless we win money for them, and then we sort of follow an industry standard for taking a percentage as the legal fee.
Okay, so get a lawyer. Make sure that lawyer understands all the legal questions you need to be asking about what you're about to do. Make sure you secure your communications. Then get the documents. And by the way, you've spoken, you know, to the Boston Globe about this. Where is the legal line between just taking documents and stealing documents? Where is it?
Well, don't do anything illegal. Do not try to gain unauthorized access to a computer system that you don't already have access to. Don't crack any passwords. Don't break any locks on office doors or file cabinets. Don't follow people home or plant bugs. If you have authorized access to evidence, you're allowed to secure that. You're typically allowed to share that with your lawyer and file that with regulatory agencies. Although, for instance, I'm not allowed to receive classified documents. So if you work for an intelligence agency or something like that, you couldn't just send me a bunch of classified documents. Right. I mean, the rules are pretty complicated, but you're right. You do need to secure the evidence before you can make a disclosure. Another thing is basically avoid email. I would say it's safe to say you should never use email.
Well, you also say be careful of non-disclosure agreements or any kind of confidentiality. If you've signed a contract, for instance, with a private employer saying that you will not disparage, does that limit you?
Yeah. I mean, you have to follow the law. Now, with that said, federal law does protect disclosures to the Securities and Exchange Commission and others. So if you're alleging that your company broke the securities laws, that it broke some kind of criminal or regulatory rule, those disclosures are in almost all circumstances protected, no matter what sort of NDA you signed.
You know, doesn't it also depend on how right you are? I'm thinking of Daniel Ellsberg, who stole all the papers from the RAND Corporation that he was working on that belonged to the Pentagon. Ultimately, he was right. He was pointing out serious problems about how the government viewed the Vietnam War as opposed to, you know, what they were telling the American people. You know, how much is being a whistleblower about trusting that you're right and that maybe you cut some corners?
Well, you know, I talk to people pretty regularly who have a good faith belief that something is going wrong, and they turn out to be wrong. They simply misunderstand the situation. They don't have all the facts, and that is a real risk. It really depends on the circumstances. So if you're a federal civil servant, you know, you work for an agency in Washington or something like that, the legal standard to get protections against retaliation is that you had a reasonable, good faith belief.
Huh. As you said, next thing you do, you go to some government agency, Treasury Department, a local government, you know, and file your complaint. And when do you know that that's it? You dust your hands. I did my job as a citizen. And when do you do as Frances Haugen did? You end up before Congress or others have done and they end up, with investigative journalists. When do you know to take it that far?
Every case is going to be different. That's going to depend on, first of all, what the client and the whistleblower want to do. Some whistleblowers do want media coverage. Others hope that the issues are resolved by a government agency without any reporting at all. And then obviously there's limitations based on the type of evidence. You can't just be publishing classified documents. Now, we can work to get documents declassified, but it really comes down to what makes the most sense for that client and for this case.
What was it like for you, John Tighe? As we said, in 2014, you blew the whistle revealing the NSA was running that secret spying program, spying on Americans. I mean, how heart-flip-flopping is that? What was that like?
Yeah. Well, so I worked at the State Department, and my job was to work on internet freedom around the world. And while I was there, the Snowden disclosures came out about NSA spying. And during that period, came to learn that even with all of the reporting on the Snowden disclosures, there hadn't been a single article on the main legal authority that the NSA uses to collect Americans' data, which is called Executive Order 12333. And I was very concerned by this. I thought then, and that it violated the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution, and what the U.S. government's allowed to collect on Americans. My disclosure did bring attention to this, but this practice is still ongoing. I did not want to flee the country. I did not want to go to prison. There were classified elements of this. I had been in classified briefings with the NSA. So I hired two lawyers, to help me go through the lawful disclosure process. It was exciting. It was scary. I'm proud of what I was able to do, you know, and there's more work to be done. I will say it definitely highlighted for me that there weren't enough resources for whistleblowers out there, and that's why I started Whistleblower Aid.
Do you ever counsel someone that it's not safe for them to be a whistleblower?
Every single person. Oh. Every single person, the first thing I try to tell them is the safest thing for you is to go home and pretend you never saw this.
Huh.
It's intrinsically risky. And in fact, the more significant your disclosure, the riskier it is. Now, we do everything we can to protect people, to maximize their impact while minimizing their risk. But there is no risk-free way to be a whistleblower.
Huh. And people still do it anyway. John Tighe, a lawyer who founded the D.C.-based Whistleblower Aid. They counsel whistleblowers. John, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
And to add to my mention of whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, he was originally charged with conspiracy, espionage, and theft of government property for taking the Pentagon Papers from the RAND Corporation where he worked and blowing the whistle in 1971 on the government's lies about Vietnam. History vindicated him, of course, but the charges were dismissed after the Watergate investigation discovered the Nixon administration had broken into Ellsberg's psychiatrist's office to try to disparage him. Again, whistleblowing is risky business.